Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome to New Life Live. Chris Williams in studio for Steve Arterburn. I have Dr. Alice Benton here today with me.
Hello. Hi, everybody.
And Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi, guys. Good to be with you.
It's so much fun to be with you guys.
I know. We're already laughing.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun show.
It is a fun show. And we're coming up on official Halloween's over.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's November.
Now, it's November.
Oh, my gosh.
We're jumping into it. Okay.
Yes.
Guys, how do we do this holiday season and keep our sanity? How do we do this?
We keep our tanks full. It's so easy for us to overlook the care that we need, especially as parents, as spouses. Mm-hmm. We get caught up in the needs all around us. And it's good to love and to give generously, but we can't do it well if we're not refueling.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so fitting in the time for refueling means we might have to say no to some things, right?
Mm-hmm.
To give ourselves a little more margin,
which is have to say yes to all of the
invitations.
I know, and
it's really hard because Christmas is so fun. It's kind of like my manic season, you know? Like I OD on the decorations and all of that.
Yeah.
And the running around.
Speaking of OD, us codependents are just...
The collective? Is that what you're...
Well, I'm me. Okay. My codependency. Like, the holiday season is the perfect time to totally overdose on codependency because we adopt everyone's expectation.
Well, and our own.
And our own.
Internalized, right? I guess we adopt everybody's
internalized. And one of the things we're not always recognizing, but it's just there, is that the holidays come with a crazy amount of expectations, right?
Mm-hmm. We were all just talking about, we three had to say no to an event that was very difficult for us to say no to.
Yes.
But life, family was calling us in three different directions, and we had to give a good no so we could give a better yes to something else in our lives.
Absolutely.
Good point, Alice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that is really good.
And there's a loss in that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I love going to things and supporting other people and not missing out, right? So there's that FOMO, right?
Yeah,
the fear of missing out that my... Adolescent
FOMO. I don't know that yet.
Adolescent kids always talk about it. It's
fear,
FOMO.
Yeah, fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I just got to say this. This is a good season. If you're like me and you're a person who struggles with some codependency and you don't want to disappoint, you want everyone to be happy with you, this is a great season to practice allowing and giving permission for other people to be disappointed and then get the resources to work through their own disappointment.
Right, letting them handle their feelings, right?
Exactly.
Instead of trying to micromanage other people's feelings, right? And anticipate how they might feel, which is really a projection of your own feelings.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Okay.
Well, and I've got to work on my GOMO, which is my guilt of missing out.
When
I say no, you tell your teenager that one.
GOMO.
Because,
a new one. I suffer from that, yes.
The guilt of missing out. That's
great. Oh, my gosh. It takes so much energy.
That's wonderful. So I think the important thing here, too, is that we miss the purpose of holidays. The purpose of the holidays is not just to make other people happy or to make other people happy with me. It's to really to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not people who celebrate throughout the year and celebrate throughout our lives, it's going to be hard to show up to celebration when it's warranted.
Mm-hmm.
And so my encouragement, even today, even on November 4th, 2019, celebrate you, celebrate God, celebrate the people in your life. Get into that excitement and that joy, and let's go with an anticipation that there is so much goodness around us. Let's live in it. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000, or stay on the line if you're on it, and we'll come back. We'll take your calls.
My wife had found me out and came home one weekend. She had revealed my secret. The only reason I was sorry at that time is because I had been caught. I had had the Every Man's Battle book for years and pulled that book out that weekend and found the phone number on the back and called it. And then a week later, I was at Every Man's Battle. It really gave me the start I needed for my recovery. I never had had that opportunity to sit down with guys I didn't even know and totally open up. The good thing was I was opening up to guys I didn't even know. So why did I care? Just lay it all out on the table. I have nothing to lose. You need to check it out. At least go online, check out what it's about, and take the chance and go do it.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to go on struggling. But you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams, and I'm here joined by my two friends, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Alice Benton. We're having fun, but let's get into having some help here. Mm-hmm. And so Mary, listening in Rockland, California on KFIA. Mary, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. How can we help you today?
Well, the purpose of my call is I just want to know what my first step to healing will be and how do I survive the pain that I'm in. Mm-hmm. My husband, we've been married for 13 years now, and I just came to realize in this past week that he's had extreme sexual addictions. I always knew about part of it, but not all of it. Mm. And I've came across, like, transsexual porn and on-site dating girls, and I think the final straw was I caught him hiding my panties in his drawer.
Mm. And wow.
It's just extremely painful, and in saying that, I didn't feel so angry until the panty thing. Mm-hmm. And I just said, I just feel so hurt and fragmented. And
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's because of his anger outbursts and the mental abuse of blaming. Well, you know, if you weren't working, I wouldn't have done that.
Wow.
And
wow.
I said, well, that's not necessarily true, because I'm always there for you. It's just that you're shut down and you're not communicating with me.
Yeah.
And he's completely detached.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he's really happy, he could be real happy unless I ask him, well, I'd like you to make a decision. You know, either you're going to choose your alternative lifestyle or work with this with me. And I know it's not going to be overnight fixed, but there are answers.
Has he done anything?
Will feel better. I will feel better.
Mary, has he taken any action?
No.
Okay.
Does he say anything?
He hasn't. He might quit for... I asked him, you know, are you bisexual? And he said yes.
Okay.
And he said, well, you should have known that from the beginning, because his first sexual experience was with his brother.
Okay. So it sounds like he has some, you know, sexual probably trauma and abuse in his past, but he's not willing to do anything right now. So again, Mary, how can we help you? What's your question for us?
Well, I told him, I said, I feel like you need to move out.
Yeah.
If you, I can't deal with the pain. Hmm. But if you choose to get well, we can work on this together. But I don't know if I should have moved out and try to get well.
Alice, what do you think?
Mary, I believe that your instincts are accurate, that you really need distance from him, especially as at this point he's been choosing to continue in this lifestyle. And I think that there is something within you, Mary, that has thought you're supposed to tolerate this, or you've had that hope of it's going to be better, I've got to stick it out. Will you tell me about that side of your thought process that you've known for some time, some of it, not all, and this is devastating to find out everything else. Mm. What do you think has kept you there to this point?
I was married for 20 years, and I had a wonderful life. And my husband died of cancer fairly young. And the only thing he ever asked of me was that I would marry again. So I met my husband now, and 18 months later I married him, not realizing where he was at in his life.
Mary, if your first husband had the ability to speak to you today, what would he tell you about your current marriage?
I think he would tell me I'm more valuable.
And I think he's right.
He wouldn't want me to hurt.
I think he's spot on.
Marion, an ugly truth is that the more we tolerate or try to turn a blind eye, try to hope for the best, but without action being taken on your husband's part, the more likely he is to continue on in the same behavior. Mm-hmm. So if asking him to move out, if that request or that demand, if that just falls through the cracks and you don't pursue that with him or pursue requiring treatment, then the message of your silence is that he can continue. He's allowed to continue in this behavior. And that's a horrible thing to have to say to you after all of this discovery. But taking a firm stance is in the best interest of you, your household, and your husband.
Right. And it's a proactive stance to fight for your marriage, really, Mary, to see if there's anything salvageable in it. Because having known maybe the tip of the iceberg, it has perpetuated. And the longer he goes down that path, you know, with pornography and all of these behaviors, the more and more distant you guys will become. And you're already there, right? There isn't a marriage. Yeah. There is his addiction that is all-consuming for him that he hides from you for the most part, right? So it's kind of like a shell of a marriage. And so this, and the thing is, he does need to make a choice to get the help, but he can't just stop it. He can't, like any promises to, okay, I won't do it anymore, or
that's not
going to
happen.
That's not going to work.
Yeah,
it has to be okay. What lifestyle am I choosing? Even if, and for him, I'm sure he doesn't believe he can give this up, and perhaps has even convinced himself he doesn't want to. That he wants both.
Yeah.
Mary, I think some of your biggest enemies are not actually your husband's behavior, but shame and embarrassment that you might feel leading to isolation. You're breaking free of that as you're talking here to us, which is incredible. And to stay on the path of valuing your worth and protecting yourself, you need other strong women around you who are continuing to speak that into you. You're worth more than this. That you'll need that to keep making these tough decisions in the face of your husband's very likely anger that you make these and go forward with them.
So Mary, here's what we're going to do. Here's a plan. Well, the first thing we want you to do is we want you to do what you can to attend Hope for a Woman, restore Hope for a Woman's Heart, which is a group of women led by a workshop we do that is exactly designed for you in your situation. It's going to be November 15th, Washington, D.C. I know it's coming up here quickly, but again, I can tell you that if you invest in this, you will find, first and foremost, an incredible amount of support, knowing that you're not alone.
And clarity.
Exactly.
Right?
So just what Alice was letting you know is that, like, I need to do this together with other women who experience this. We're going to send you a copy of Intimate Deception. And so, you know, Dr. Sherry has just done a phenomenal work there. Again, it's going to bring you clarity. It's also going to bring you hope and action steps to take in moving forward. And go ahead, Jill.
Well, and then for him, like we usually do, he needs to attend every man's battle.
Yes.
And it's coming up soon, December 6th in Denver.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yes. And so I would make that part of the criteria. You know, he needs to move out. He needs to show you that he's willing. And one of the ways he can show you is to attend this workshop to really be able to look at, because it doesn't just deal with the behaviors. It really looks at what's underneath, and it looks at those father wounds. And you're telling us that this is a man who first acted out sexually with his brother. Where was dad? What was going on in that home? Mm-hmm. And so he's got a lot of shame from way back.
Yeah.
And Mary, if he won't do anything that you're asking, then you start building your plan to protect yourself no matter what he does.
Yeah. So, Mary, I want you to actually jump into that right now, just as Alice was saying. Get your plan together. You need protection. Take these steps. Stay on the line, because we'll want to be able to connect you with the information for the Restore Conference. Again, if you're listening out there, and this is, you know, Mary's phone call really hits home with you. Again, Restore Hope for a Woman's Heart, November 15th in Washington, D.C. You can go online to www.newlife.com. Or give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And that's true for all of our workshops. Again, Every Man's Battle is coming up December 6th in Denver. And I can attest, you know, in attending and facilitating in these workshops, what happens is absolutely incredible. And it begins a journey of recovery and health and healing, and ultimately the will of God being able to be active and alive in our lives. So with that, let's get to the phones. Let's go to Sarah in Dallas, Texas. Sarah, how are you doing? Sarah, you there? I don't have Sarah. Oh. Let's go to Brooke in Oakland, Florida. I'm sorry, Orlando, Florida. So Brooke in Orlando, listening on WTLN. Brooke, are you there?
I'm here.
Brooke, great.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you well. Yes. How can we help you today?
Oh, thank you, Dr. Alice and Dr. Jill and Chris, filling in for Steve today. I have a really heavy heart today, especially with the season coming up, with, you know, the holidays and everything. You were talking earlier about how it's a cheerful celebration time and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot of people that might be depressed this time of year.
That's right.
Think about those kind of people.
Absolutely.
Seem to appear lonely and depressed. And in my situation, I have several people that I recently have lost family members to suicide.
Oh, man.
Like one lost their son, and another one, they lost their son. Mm. She lost her son, and then another one lost her sister, a younger sister, to suicide as well. She was an older sister than her, but a younger girl anyway. And it just breaks my heart, and I just want to know what can I, my question today is, how can I help people that actually have had family members that have committed suicide, but yet they feel suicidal and depressed themselves?
Wow.
What would you say would be a good response to somebody that's in that situation, that they tell you on the phone, I think I'm going to kill myself? What do you say to somebody like that? It's like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
I mean, that just happened to me just recently, like earlier today.
Yeah, wow. Okay,
it's not funny, but it's just like, oh my gosh, it's just like so fresh. And
so,
I just need
Brooke,
advice on that, and appreciate it.
Yeah, first and foremost, thank you for you. Thank you that they have friends like you. Yes, may your numbers, may friends like you and the Brooks out there of the world increase. Mm-hmm. So yeah, what do you guys think?
Well, Brooke, I think, you know, being a friend, number one, who is willing to hear the pain and the depth of someone else's depression is really doing a lot. So many people just want people to get to the other side and be happy again and, you know, get anxious about people talking. And so you know, you being able to kind of do the long suffering, because losing a child to suicide, losing a child at all, oh my gosh, that person has entered into a season of long suffering, right? Mm-hmm. Of all the upcoming disappointments of what they won't now have, you know, as well as just being able to see that person. So I think to be able to ask the person and say, you know, I can imagine that you would want to be with your son. I can imagine that the pain is so intolerable that it seems like you just want to escape from that. But I'm your friend, and I love you, and I want you to know I'm here for you. But I need to know that you're safe. And if you're not safe, then I'm willing to walk with you to get the support that we need to keep you safe. And it's really important to let them know that, you know, it's okay to talk about it. But if there's any leaning towards acting on it, have they thought of a plan? What would be the reasons not to do it? That's a really important piece, too. And that you want to walk beside them. How does that feel to you? Because that can feel like a burden to some people.
That sounds like really great advice. But that would you recommend maybe giving this number for them to call?
Yes.
Absolutely.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Yep.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, great. Okay, I hope everybody heard that. That's a good number to call when you're feeling like you might be depressed, or if you are thinking of...
Perfect.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 15th to the 17th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
And we're back, Chris Williams in studio with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton. And we just had Brooke on, just a great friend who is out there to help other people. But she is surrounded, like so many of us, by a lot of tragedy and a lot of heartache and brokenhearted experiences. And we're going to send out a book. The wellness series that Steve has put together is so great. Understanding and Loving a Person with Depression. It can really help guide us along. Greater empathy and understanding, but as well. And I just had this idea. If you're a person like Brooke and you have a big heart for people, and especially people that may be working through tragedies and or loneliness in the holiday season, if you can provide just a safe place for people to come and enjoy a dinner, to enjoy a game mm-hmm. night, to have a campfire.
Yeah, remember those people. Remember yes. the people that are alone, that have had losses, yes. and how do you include them and draw them in?
Absolutely.
To give them a sense of belonging and
yeah, that,
family.
That, that your home can now be such a gift to other people, mm-hmm. and the gift is a place of hospitality, mm-hmm. a place to sit down, take a deep breath, and be just be, you know, mm-hmm. and be whatever you are in that moment. So, mm-hmm. and I think you said something important, Jill, not to fix a person, not, right. not to rescue them, but to be with them in their heartache. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, something we often say is you don't do for someone what they need to do for themselves. But in the case of depression, that's in terms of like codependency.
Yeah.
But in the case of depression, you know, to be able to realize, okay, maybe this person can't mm-hmm. do it themselves.
Yeah.
And in those cases, I need to come alongside them. I need to volunteer. Let's go to a grief group together.
Yeah.
Right? Here's some numbers for a suicide prevention hotline. Let's find a counselor and I'll take you there.
Yeah.
You know, those things to help them get out the door, because when people are grief stricken, a lot of times they are just paralyzed.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
And those thoughts of death, of I'm not worth it, my family's going to be mm-hmm. better off without me,
yeah.
just take me now, God, and then and moving into thoughts of suicide, those are fiery darts from the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And when we keep them secret and in the dark and nobody else knows about them, they have intense power over us. John 10:10 tells us the enemy comes to seek, to kill, to destroy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So rebuke the enemy. Satan, we rebuke you in your attempts to ensnare us. There's great prayer strength against these attacks of the enemy. I don't know that we've mentioned yet to the suicide prevention hotline, and you can just look it up for a local hotline in your area or the national hotline. Mm-hmm. And our counselors are available our call
centers.
Yeah. Yes. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Are available here to connect you.
Yeah, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let us help you out. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Ray in Houston, Texas. Ray, are you there?
Hello, this is Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, Ray. How can we help you today?
I'll start with the question, because that's what the person that took my call earlier said. Start with the question.
Yeah, that helps us.
Okay, and my question is, my girlfriend, she has some issues with fear. And they come out in the form of anxiety and many other forms. And I wanted to know what's the best way to talk to her to help her realize that she has some issues with fear and they need to be mm-hmm. addressed.
Yeah. Well, Ray, first and foremost, I've been saying this a lot, but I'm so glad that you're the type of boyfriend, that you're the type of partner that would show that concern and really want to help her. And it doesn't sound like you're trying to control it that much either, which is great. But yeah, I know that fear in relationship has a big impact. So Alice, what do you think?
Well, Ray, I want to go right after that one of the words you use, which is how do I talk to her to tell her she has these fears? And I want to redirect you to be a listener and to ask questions first. When someone is in their anxiety and fear, we often want to comfort them or to give them advice to move them out of their fear. It doesn't work too well. It actually can shut us down when we're fearful. The best way to get to that is to ask about her fears, to ask what she thinks, what happens in her body when she feels that way, to ask about some fear from her past, what's happened in her life that has brought about some of this fear. That's actually one of the best ways to comfort a fearful person.
Right, Alice, and that way you're not dismissing the fears because they're very real to the person who's feeling them, right?
Exactly.
So you're valuing her and what she's going through and moving towards her, which can then help her to feel that support, like you're saying.
Yeah, we have talked about it before. We've been going together like more than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it before, and she did go to a counselor, but she only went to the counselor one time.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That's,
and that was
that's
like
not,
a year ago.
That yeah,
that's
really
not, that's not going to do much.
How do her fears affect your relationship? Ray, how do her fears affect your relationship with her?
And at daytime or nighttime, and this is one of the things, how we can go, we can get a lot of traffic, you know, traffic just be backed up in Houston, you know, it could be terrible. and the anxiety will come out. She'll get nervous. She'll get tense. And
yeah, well, Ray, I think we lost you for a moment there. But Ray, there is a lot going on here. And again, anxiety is this really, really tough condition. It's really, I call it sticky.
Because it's kind of nebulous and vague, and you have to really kind of untwine it to see what's going on, right?
So it takes time, you know, to work through it. It takes time in counseling. But there's also medication that can help with this as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, you know, generalized anxiety disorder, and I don't know if that's what she has, but it sounds similar to that. And, you know, there's a lot of different interventions and a lot of different actions we can take. And we'll give some great feedback and suggestions and head in the right direction right when we come back after this break.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
And we're back here in studio. Chris Williams in for Steve Arterburn. And again, I have Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Alice Benton. We've been talking with Ray. Ray is in a relationship, and his girlfriend has been struggling with a lot of what sounds like an anxiety disorder, or just a lot of worry. And I just want to mention that, you know, just this past year, the National Institute of Mental Health said that anxiety, for the first time, has surpassed depression as the most diagnosed mental disorder in America.
Makes sense.
And so this is a very, very, very common problem, common issue. But what can people who struggle or people who love people who struggle do with this epidemic that we're experiencing?
I think it's good and okay to realize when we come to the end of ourselves, when our question and our love doesn't love the person out of their fear. So appealing to the intimacy, appealing to the relationship to say, I see you struggle, I see you in pain with your fear, and I know I can't do enough to help you out of it. You went to a counselor before, I don't think it worked out, but let's try somebody else. I'll, as Jill was saying about an earlier call, I'll go with you.
Yeah, let's go together so we can both learn how to deal with this, and I can learn how to help you through it, or until you feel safe enough to maybe go by yourself. And let's hang in there, because this takes some time, right?
And just to recognize that there are medical interventions here, you know, talking with this about your doctor, and again, getting into professional help. And this is why the mental health profession, you know, exists, to really help people through that. And again, we don't just have a hotline that can help people work through crisis like suicide,
right,
but really designed to connect people with therapists and competent therapists in their area. And again, you can find that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're going to...
Can I just add a couple more things?
Yes,
just
absolutely.
To reiterate, you know, with anxiety, it's so debilitating for people. And it's that, you know, that fear of impending doom and that feeling so out of control. And one of the things, you know, people think that, okay, well, what's the therapy going to do? But a lot of times we are anxious about the future because of what has happened in the past.
Yes.
And that has already happened, right? Mm-hmm. And so that is fueling. And whenever we have an overreaction to something in the present, then we know that it's about something in the past. And so to sort through all that is really, really important in helping you get a sense of, oh, okay, this is why I feel anxious when this happens.
Absolutely.
Right?
There's so many times that anxiety has a story and we're not paying attention to the story.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, too, to talk it through, Alice, as you were saying, asking the question, talk it through so they can hear it all the way through. Because so many people with anxiety just stop at that wall of fear.
Yeah.
And they don't push through to say, well, what's going to happen then? Next and next and next. And what resources do I have internally to help me through it? How have I handled it in the past? How have I managed? What can I do now?
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Yeah, well, we're going to send Ray a copy of Healing is a Choice by Steve Arterburn. And again, that's just going to lay out some really great things to keep on in the journey, some things that you can do for yourself, but also, again, the help and resources that are out there. So thank you, Ray, for calling in. Thank you for your love and your concern. Next, I want to go to Barb in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, listening on WRGN. Barb, are you there?
I am.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. How can we help you?
I have a question.
Okay.
And just breezing past some history, my brother-in-law, who's been married for about 40 years, he confessed to us that he is gay.
Mm-hmm.
And he swore to secrecy. And so I guess I am wrestling with the guilt of having to keep this secret, although I really don't feel it's my place
to share it.
To share it with my sister-in-law, yeah.
How long ago did he reveal this to you?
Okay. It was about 3 years ago, and we are presently estranged from them. It pretty much started, he's an alcoholic, and this was revealed to us when we were visiting one time by his wife. And because we have a history of going through this, my husband and I, she asked if we could help them. So we tried to do that. So it's just been very difficult. There's been some hurt feelings through all of this.
Yeah.
And so presently we are estranged.
And so what's the question for us?
The guilt that I feel that this is something that I think his family should know, but I certainly don't want to be the one to do it. So
that you're holding a secret in the family.
So hard.
And that's really difficult.
Yeah. And
is.
Barb,
yeah.
is he acting out or is he using the alcohol to just kind of medicate it away and maintain his life?
Well, because we haven't really been with him for 3 years, I'm not quite sure where he's at right now. But he has complained to us for the last 10 years about an unhappy marriage. And so when we were trying to help them out, they were very, there were a lot of hurt feelings. And understandably, because his wife was going through all this.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was your question?
Well, let's stick with the guilt here. Because You were addictedly manipulated is what I'll call that. Yep. So,
okay.
So what that looks like is this. I'm gonna place the burden of a horrible truth that is actually not truthful. It's a secret. And so I'm gonna place this horrible secret that is threatening to the people around me, and I'm gonna pass it on to you and then make it a character issue. You now have to hold the secret that I have, or you're a bad person, and now you break my trust of my secret. Do you see how confusing that sounds?
Yes, I get it.
I'm telling you,
whether you're held hostage by the secret.
Whether you can see it or whether it's intentional or not, that is straight manipulation. Right? Because now you're in a no-win situation. If you reveal the secret, then you've betrayed his trust. Yeah. If you keep the secret, now you've
betrayed her trust.
And that is why I feel that the separation probably isn't a bad thing.
No, I don't think so. Because they're not. Yeah. Because here's the thing, Barb. It's not that you're unsafe for them; they're actually unsafe for you.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
You might want to explain that a little further.
Yeah, I'll explain that. Your brother-in-law, and you said you've tried to help them. You tried to do things like this, but your brother-in-law doing this to you is a violation. He has broken your trust first, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's what I want to come back to. And so it's not what they need. It's the question is, what do you need?
Yeah, and it's hard.
Barb, where's the blood relation? Is it your husband? Is it his brother? Will you explain that to me?
It is my husband's brother. Yeah.
And does your husband also know the secret?
Oh yeah, he told him first.
And the wife doesn't know. And if they have children, the children don't know.
And they don't know. And if ever I was to say anything, because this is a secret, he's staying in the marriage. I don't know whether he's actively pursuing. His lifestyle. I don't know that. His drinking. But again,
you don't have contact. Yeah, you don't have contact. So none of that.
So again, we're asking like what? So I think you asked the right question, Barb. It's not what can I do with them, because right now they're estranged, right? So now the only thing you can do anything about is that you're carrying the burden of guilt, and that's what's impacting you. That's what I hear. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. So we're going to come back to you after the break. We're going to talk more about how do you deal with this break when a secret has been dumped on you in a no-win situation. And just as a reminder to our listeners out there, we have Every Man's Battle coming up December 6th in Denver. If you struggle with sexual integrity, if you're struggling with sexual acting out, don't waste time on this. There really is a way out. It's not easy, but it is life-giving in the end. So Every Man's Battle, December 6th. Also, our Restore Hope for Women's Heart, November 15th in Washington, D.C. If you have gone through the betrayal trauma of sexual addiction, Restore is for you. We will be back after this break.
We need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
And we are back, and we're talking with Barb, and Barb is in this really sticky situation. Mm-hmm. She was a secret that her brother-in-law was keeping was dumped on her. That's a threat to the marriage of the brother-in-law and sister-in-law. And so, Barb, we were talking at the break, and we want to give a couple of feedbacks. But I'm just going to start here. Guilt points to something that we have done wrong, right? And guilt's actually a really healthy thing because we can correct that. We can do behaviors to correct that. So I think that the question is, you know, you were placed in this no-win situation, right? Have you done?
Right.
Have you actually done anything wrong?
I don't feel. I feel that. No, I have not done anything wrong.
Okay, so this is where we want to relieve you of that. Okay, so let go of that guilt. You've not done anything wrong here. Okay. But now we're going to go back to, like, what do we do from here? So, Alice, you had some thoughts on this.
Barb, you really had us going in the break because of how complex this is.
I know.
So we're just having a taste of what you've been living with for 3 years. And we try to put ourselves in your sister-in-law's shoes, and we think she has a right to know. But we don't think it's your place necessarily to be the one to tell her, but it's not fair to her that her husband has this struggle and we don't know to what extent and she doesn't know about it. So we think it would be ideal if you would have your husband call his brother to say, we think your wife needs to know. We made a mistake in agreeing to keep this secret. We're burdened by it. Mm-hmm. And so we're asking you, brother, to reveal it to your wife. And if you're not willing to, then we have to take action for the sake of your family.
Okay, but Alice, to maybe ask, you know, brother, you shared this with us, and if it gave you the courage to seek some help and make some changes, are you there?
I'm sorry, we're gonna keep going
and the show there's a recording of the show afterwards so you can go back to what listen. You've missed, but we're gonna keep going here. We've got more for you.
Yeah, so we want to know if you've taken some steps to get some help and to make some changes that would put you in a different place with your wife and that would not put the burden of the craziness on her, but that you would be truthful and reveal things. And if you are not moving in that direction, then we feel like we need to step in because we have been burdened with this for 3 years. And we have seen and observed your wife suffering because she has this missing piece of information.
Yeah.
So then that, you know, if you don't tell her.
Barb, how does that sound?
If you heard any of it.
If you heard any. Well, hopefully she did. But what we're going to do is we're going to send Barb understanding and loving a person with sexual addiction.
Perfect.
And so that's going to kind of, again, help open up them pathways of here's how I understand it better and here's why I move forward. But I just want to say this out there. You know, we as therapists are held to confidentiality professionally. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say this in my personal life. If someone says, hey, can I tell you something but you can't tell anyone else? Okay. The first answer is not yet.
mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because I will keep a confidence, an appropriate confidence, unless it is threatening to other people around mm-hmm. me, especially people that I love. And so I just want to give that to other people because, I mean, we can get that a lot. Hey, keep the secret. Now we have the yuckiness.
And, well, right. And they're dictating your commitment.
Yeah. That's a, right? that's a very good
and
point.
And you don't have to agree to that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's get another call in today. Let's go to Annie in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So, Annie, are you there? Annie, can you hear us? No, lost Annie. Okay, let's go to Patty in Cincinnati, Ohio. Patty, are you there?
I'm here.
Excellent.
Thank you for taking my call.
No problem, Patty. How can we help you today?
I'm older, and I have a rare disease called sarcoidosis. I'm a single grandma, and I have four children. And I went to a wedding 2 months ago with my granddaughter, and my daughter causes so much chaos in the family. And when I got to the wedding, her father, who was an abusive man, was there. His third ex-wife was there, and her daughters. His girlfriend was there. And so I just stayed away. But when I went to the back of the church, my son-in-law was livid. And evidently, my daughter said she wanted me to leave. And I left the wedding.
Mm.
And I don't know what to do anymore with her.
Oh, I am so sorry to hear that.
I raised these my four children alone. I didn't know. I put him through college. I didn't know he was a sociopath.
Mm.
And now he's buying my children all these things. They have all this money. I have sarcoidosis and can get out, hard to get out.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to do anymore.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
That's so painful.
So your ex-husband is basically
buying them.
Buying off your children and pitting them against you?
Yes, he is.
Oh, man.
He paid the down payment on my old daughter's house. She's been married 30 years.
Wow.
And my other daughter, yes. And it's, they know that he tried to strangle me. He tried to kill me. And in those days, nobody helped.
And, right. And do you know why your daughter is upset with you?
She's always, she says things, she doesn't tell the truth. She has no boundaries.
Yeah.
His third ex-wife, she calls mom.
Hmm. Well,
ow.
This is a really, really tough situation. This is, and are you seeking any help for this?
Honestly, it's been hard because with my disease, I am sick a lot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I lost my home and everything because of finances.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I was the director of a hospice until I got sick.
Yeah. Well, we are limited on time here, right. Patty. But Alice, what
I know.
Do you,
you know, I'm giving you too much.
No,
it's
you're
okay,
good.
Patty.
You're good.
It's life is a lot. Sorry.
Yeah, I actually wish we had more time. But
I know, I really do. And it sounds like you feel betrayed by your children, Patty, and that is not a good thing. And I'm wondering if you have any good connections with any of them, or who are your primary connections in life, even if it's hard to get out. Do you have any friends, lifelong friends, family members, siblings?
My friends live away.
Okay.
All my family's gone except my children. This daughter has destroyed a lot of things, and I don't know what to do anymore.
Patty, this
so hopeless.
Yes, and this breaks your heart, and ongoing interaction with her at times continues to break your heart even further. So there are a couple of things that we parents can do when we're in this almost impossible situation with our kids. One thing we can do is doing a moral inventory of ourselves and where we might have fallen short as parents, because we all do fall short. Sometimes our children are safe to make that confession to face-to-face. Sometimes they're not, because they will use it against us. But an acknowledgement of our imperfection as parents and allowing our children in a respectful conversation to speak to us about how we have hurt them, that's a good step to offer if it's safe enough enough to do so. If our children are not safe and won't listen to our concerns about how they're treating us, and it's good to ask, what have I done? Is there something? I know you wanted me to leave the wedding. I didn't understand it. Asking those questions, but then setting boundaries if they are not safe to be around. It's so painful, but sometimes we have to do that with our own family members.
And Patty, thank you for calling in. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, and hopefully that will set you in the right direction. Again, thank you all for listening, and we will be back tomorrow.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.